I handed out a copy of my notes for my sermon this morning. I felt like that I could go to a little bit more trouble at home and make things go a little bit faster here, where I wouldn't have to wait for you to turn to certain scriptures to remind you of scriptures that we already know are there. And if you prefer, you can take it home with you and go over it as many times as you want to prove to yourself what I'm trying to show you this morning. The sermon this morning is about spiritual authority. I've never heard anybody preach on spiritual authority. But it is so much a part of what we as Christians need to understand to make our life with God successful. It's against our nature to want to be bossed around, so we don't usually look for people to boss us around. But a spiritual man has to look around to find the spiritual authority that happens to be being applied to him at the time by whomever. I hope to be able to explain it to you this morning in a way, because God told me last Sunday afternoon, I was sitting there still and I prayed, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that I will be able to recognize what you want me to preach next Sunday." And he said, "Well, you had a lesson this morning in your assembly, and I don't know how many people caught it, but I don't believe everybody understood it, so you need to explain it to them." Well, it was about spiritual authority, I know it was, and so that's the reason I've dealt with this. And it had enough scriptures in it that I thought were necessary that I put them in a copied form so we wouldn't have to turn to every one of them. So here goes. I'm going to try to get this thing established to so you can see what the Bible is trying to tell all of us. By the way, I got permission from the leadership and ordered 25 books on spiritual authority. There are two people who have probably taught me more about living with Jesus than anybody else. One of them is Oswald Chambers, that book, My Utmost for His Highest, was written by his wife, and a Chinese preacher by the name of Watchman Nee. He spent the last 22 years of his life in a communist prison in China, and they had to slip out his sermons so his wife could put them together in a book. Those two men have taught me more about Jesus than anybody I've ever dealt with. And this book on spiritual authority was written by Watchman Nee. He understands Scripture better than anybody I've ever seen. So let's start. In Genesis 1:1, it said God created the heavens and the earth. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For by Jesus were all things created." Whoa. It says over here, God created. It says over here, Jesus created. They're the same people. I've told you before in our Bible, there is no different word for an angel that worships Satan and an angel that worships God. It just says angel. And you've got to look at the context, how it was written, before you'll know which angel he's talking about. Because in some places they're called devils, those that were kicked out of heaven with Satan. But sometimes they're just called angels. And here is another one of those things. When you see the word in the Bible, God, it can mean God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. All three of them are gods. And all of them have different functions. But when you see the Word plainly says that Jesus did all the creating, then when you see God created the heaven and the earth, it was Jesus, the God, that did it. And what I'm trying to do is establish that Jesus was the one who created everything that's been created, and you and I too. There's no conflict in these words. It's just the way that the Bible has to be read. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority or power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, Jesus had already been crucified, and he had already been resurrected. He had finished the work that God sent him here to do. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What he meant is, "My job is finished." So he had done every single thing that God sent him to do, and then he was resurrected. And he came back to the earth and stayed 40 days. It was after he was resurrected and came back that he says in the 28th chapter of Matthew, "I have been given authority over everything in heaven and in earth." Now please understand me. If Jesus has all authority, all of it, then the authority of a judge, the authority of a president, the authority of a governor, the authority of policemen, the authority of a man over his own family, all comes from Jesus. And Jesus expects you, if I loan you my authority, you need to use it like I would have used it. Just like if you borrowed my lawnmower, I expect you to bring it back in the same shape that it was when you got it. That is something that's not said. But when Jesus gives people authority, we're supposed to use it like Jesus would have used it. He got the authority because he finished 100% obediently everything that God sent him to do. And God put him over everything. Now, then he left. They said they stood and watched him as he went up into heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's where he went when he left here. He is in heaven's throne room, and he's sitting at the, or I say he's sitting, yeah, he said sit down, so I guess he's sitting on something, at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Jesus now to appear in the presence of God for us." Hear me. Jesus' only job right now is the church of the world. The born-again believers, you and me, are his only responsibility. Remember that, please. The man that created all of us, the being that created all of us, is also the one that's in charge of all of us. And his job requirement is now for us to wind up as perfect as him. That's a big job. He appears in heaven before God for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Seeing Jesus lives forever to make intercession for us." His job now is to meddle in our lives every day. We've seen in speaking of other things, that he is available 24/7. And he can be anywhere. Now we're going to see where the Holy Spirit and Jesus are working together. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. I'll read it to you, but you can turn there if you choose. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit that God put in each one of us the day we received Christ is connected to Jesus. They have a communication system to where they speak a language that nobody else can understand. We can't even say, we can't even talk it. And we can't understand it. Only Jesus can and God can understand the language of the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit can speak of that language that they're talking with them. And when we get to a situation, according to my Scofield Bible, when we get to a situation where we really are so in a mess that we don't know what to pray for or how to pray, the Holy Spirit, it says, can carry our problem to Jesus, and He can explain it to Jesus perfectly. Now, the only reason He can do that is because Jesus has been one of us. That was the whole purpose for that. Jesus has been here. He's been tempted like we've been. He's walked the streets like we've been. He's had His toe stubbed just like we do, and had His fingers mashed just like we get our fingers mashed. And He knows because of that exactly what the Holy Spirit's saying when He explains to Jesus what kind of a mess we're in. Which groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts, that's Jesus. Jesus knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now for you that sat in Anthony's class on Thursday nights one night, he preached all this, he taught all this. I believe that when Jesus took on that fleshly body like ours, that He still got it. He's still in the flesh just like us. I could touch Jesus on the shoulder like I can touch you on the shoulder. I can't touch the Holy Spirit. I can't touch God because they're spirits. They're like wind blowing through a room. You can feel it coming through, but you can't see it. And you can't touch it. You don't really know where it's going. So what I'm saying is that Jesus can only be in one place at one time now. Before, when He was a spirit, like the Holy Spirit and God the Father, He was like them. He could be everywhere at one time. But I don't believe He can be but in one place at one time now. And He's there on the right hand of God in heaven's throne room. The Holy Spirit is in us, and they're talking back and forth about what we need to make, the next move we need to make. When you talk about somebody changes the traffic so you won't be killed in a car wreck. When somebody talks about that a bullet came within a centimeter of a fella's head, but it didn't go in him. These are all things that Jesus wants to happen, and He uses the Holy Spirit to make it happen. Jesus told us when He was on this earth, it's not me doing the miracles, that's the God the Father that's doing the miracles. Who it was the Holy Spirit. He's the one that did all the miracles for Jesus. And until Jesus got the Holy Spirit put on Him, on His shoulder like a dove in the River Jordan with John the Baptist, had the Holy Spirit placed in him at that point. That's the reason I don't believe that people conjecture that Jesus did miracles in the sand pile when he was a kid. I don't believe that. I don't believe he could do a miracle until that one at Cana, when he turned the water into wine. That was his first one. And he couldn't do it until he got the Holy Spirit in him. God is the only one who has the whole plan for you and me. Jesus was asked questions while he was here. What about this? His disciples asked him questions. And he's answered them by saying, nobody knows the answer to that but God. So when the Holy Spirit goes to Jesus with, what should I tell this person that's doing the praying? If Jesus doesn't know God's plan for your life, God shows him what that plan is, and then he tells the Holy Spirit what to tell you. Now, when that occurs, you have a choice. Do I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, or do I do what my body says will make me feel good, make me look a lot better than I look, or make me have status? We've all got those questions we have to deal with. In John 16:13, Jesus, in telling us about the Holy Spirit that would come, says, he shall guide you unto all truth. The Holy Spirit, I'm quite sure, knows all the Scripture because he wrote it for Jesus. He's the one that Jesus used to get in the men's head that sat down and wrote this Bible. So the Holy Spirit would have to know the book. So there's a lot of things that we ask that the Holy Spirit knows without having to ask Jesus. What do you want him to do? What should we do, Lord? But there's some things he asked Jesus, and there's some things he asked Jesus. Jesus has to ask God. I mean, that's what the Scripture here is plainly making out for us. He also said in John that the Holy Spirit speaks of what he hears of Jesus. The only thing Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will direct you to do is what he hears me say. This is all of what Jesus says, right here. It's in the book. But he says other things too. And there's not the plan for each one of our lives and how we're to live it in this book. A general plan is there, but the individual plan that each one of us has differently is not in the book. And God's the only one that knows that. Verse 14 of John 16, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. There's the process. Jesus dictates to the Holy Spirit what your Holy Spirit inside of you is supposed to tell you. Then, what to do or what to think or how to act is left up to us. That's our choice. Because we cannot discern spiritual things with our brains. We can't do it. The unsaved person, Paul says, thinks the Bible's foolishness. There's no way he can read the Bible and get advice. It takes a person who is born again, who has the Holy Spirit inside of them, to be able to understand Scripture. It says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? So you see, the way that God has planned for us, the only way we can understand what it is to listen to God. He knows what it is and can tell us. Now, the next question, I think I have made the point of how important the Holy Spirit is in this whole interaction between us and heaven's throne room. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and us. Without the Holy Spirit, our prayers don't even make it to heaven. He intercepts every single prayer we pray and makes it to where it will go into the throne room and be effective. The Holy Spirit is probably in our lives as born-again believers the most important thing that we've got to know about. Okay, if it's that way then, why is nobody talking about it? Why does nobody preach on it? Why have we not been instructed about it from the time we was in 6 years old in Sunday school? As a young man, 10, 11 years old, I lived, raised up in Montevallo. We had a couple of three Baptist churches. We had one Methodist church. We had one Presbyterian church. And in the country, you begin to notice that there were some churches springing up that they called Pentecostal churches that folks talked about, church folks in town talked about, that they had weird ways of worshiping. I dated a girl and went to her church for her twice, and I got scared both times. But I'd never seen people act like that in church. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that when the Ark of the Covenant was coming back to Jerusalem, that David, a country boy, ran out in the streets, got ahead of the parade, and danced all the way into Jerusalem ahead of the procession that was bringing the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. And his wife, Michal, who was King Saul's daughter and was David's first wife, was raised in the palace of her father, the king. Needless to say, that is a place where you can grow up to be real snooty. And she thought she was better than everybody else, but her daddy, Saul, gave her to David to be his first wife. And when she looked out the window of the palace, David's palace, and saw him dancing in his underwear in front of all the locals, it said she had contempt for him. And she, when he got back to the house, she lowered the boom on him and let him have it, dancing in his underwear in front of all those common girls out there, young women in the kingdom. God punished her to where she never had any more children because she did that. Now let me tell you something, folks. I pray to be filled with the Spirit. I do not pray to speak in tongues, to fall out in the Spirit in the front of the floor. I don't pray to dance up and down the aisle. I don't pray to, what some folks said, jump pews. But some of those people they used to tease about did some of that. I don't know that they went that far because folks teased about them. But those people had no problems worshiping God with their emotions. Now, they got emotional about their worship services. And they did things that the folks uptown didn't do. And the folks uptown got so afraid that they were going to be accused of acting like those other folks that they quit talking about the Holy Spirit altogether. And I was even taught as a young man in the First Independent Church I was in that anything emotional was wrong. You couldn't get emotional with the things about God. Now you know that it's not right. You know it's not. And I was taught that. But I want to show you something. What our Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 5 in verse 17. You see, exactly what I've told you is exactly what the Bible here, Paul, is talking about in his letter to the Ephesians. Verse 17 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what God wants you to do and how He wants you to act and what your conduct should be in serving God. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now let's turn that verse backwards. When you are filled with the Spirit, don't act like you've lost control of your facility like somebody who is drunk because they drank too much alcohol. In other words, what he's saying is, when you are filled with the Spirit, you don't have to act like you're drunk. But this is the way you're supposed to act when you pray to be filled and God fills you with the Spirit. Verse 19, you do this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Mama used to stand at the sink and hum hymns. That's what it's talking about. She was at peace. She was in her house doing her things her way, and nothing at the time was troubling her. That's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing you do besides singing hymns to yourself is you're always praising God and giving Him thanks for what He's done for you. And the third thing, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Do you know what it means to submit? It means to be under each other's authority. When you are in a service and a man's got three stripes and you don't have but two, you are to submit to whatever he says because he's got more rank than you have. I told you before that the only way you can love your neighbor as yourself is to esteem him, as the Bible says, to be better than you. And that's what it's talking about here. You submit yourself to other Christians. Okay? That means then that with spiritual authority, there is always somebody who has the floor, in other words. When you walk up to a group of people, there is somebody there that God intends for you to listen to. If God doesn't tell you to listen to somebody, then maybe you're the one that has the authority. Maybe you're the one who's supposed to speak and give them advice. Anthony told me one time, I keep picking on him because he's one of the most spiritual people I've ever been around, said that when he walked up to a group of people and they were all giving their opinions about situations, which is really what people do on Facebook, he said if God didn't give him an opinion to share with the group, he just kept his mouth shut, didn't say anything. That's self-control, people. That's submitting yourself to to the authority of somebody else. Now we'll get down the way to the way I think, based on what we've just talked about, what the Bible has laid out for us to be true. I have a responsibility by God for you guys. When I stand up here, I'm supposed to be here on time, and I'm supposed to have a message prepared, a message that God gave me to tell you. I can't even pick that. With that responsibility comes authority to speak. You sit quietly and listen to me, because God has laid that authority on me. But I don't have all authority. That's something you need to understand. In Titus, I'll turn there and read it. Chapter 2, and in the last part of verse 13, is talking about the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. He cleans us up from our sins, saves us from our sins, and purifies unto himself a peculiar people. He makes us as perfect as he is. Zealous of good works. People who want to do what God wants them to do. And what Paul told the young preacher Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. God is showing believers, us, how we're to deal with if we have the gift of preaching. We are to teach. We're to exhort or encourage. I'm to exhort or encourage you to do what I've taught you to do. And I am to rebuke when something's wrong. Well, I'm not much into rebuking. I mean, with a gift of teaching, I figure if I tell you what Jesus says you're supposed to do, at that point it's between you and God. You're going to have to suffer if you don't do it. Anyhow, I'm not. As long as I teach you right, it's between you and him about whether you choose to do it or not. So as long as I use the authority that I have been given from Jesus, like Jesus wants me to use it, I'm in the clear. And I try to do that. But I want you to listen to this too, and you've heard this before, because I preached it. In Romans chapter 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. When does the Holy Spirit come upon you? When you're born again. So you see, you guys have all got power too. You got authority too, just like I have. The only time my authority is any different is when I stand up here and you sit down out there, and I'm supposed to teach you the things that God has told me to teach. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. That's what I believe. And the Holy Spirit represents Jesus to us. When Jesus says, I've appeared before God in heaven for you, he can't do that without the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and is our direct communication link. All our business with in heaven is through the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I respect the Holy Spirit greatly. Not greater than Jesus, but greatly. In this meeting, that's us, when we get together here, I believe whoever has the floor has the authority from the Holy Spirit to speak. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit will move you to say something, and you just about got to say it. I have so much respect for the Holy Spirit that when you believe that that Holy Spirit is saying, telling you to speak aloud in front of other people, the people that I have the responsibility to teach, I believe you're supposed to do that. I have no problem whatsoever with anybody. I don't. Before we went on the internet, people used to raise their hand and ask questions in the middle of my sermon. I don't have a problem with that either. But see, I know you have authority too. I don't have it all. And the Holy Spirit has authority over you and will move you to say something that we all can benefit from. And sometimes we've said that that a better sermon was preached after I got through preaching than it was when the one I had. Because somebody spoke up and said something coming straight from Jesus' mouth through the Holy Spirit. When you speak, I listen for the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something. When those four little girls in the back, when one of them speaks, I'm listening for the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit prompts them. They have no clue that that's what's going on, but I believe He prompts them to say what He's going to say, and I'm listening. Can I get any direction out of that? What I said earlier was the only thing that I'm concerned about is we, when all these things are going on in our world, that we don't think about those things like people who don't know Christ. So that's the reason I put the importance on what I hear. Where is it coming from? When Jesus was talking with Peter and Peter got smart, Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me." Nobody was talking to Jesus but Peter. But he recognized Peter as saying things that Satan put in his mouth. So I realize it talks over and over. When Paul was at Corinth and when Peter was at Pentecost, all of them, they were filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit was talking through their mouths and brought about the results of what they brought. And the Spirit can speak through your mouth too. I know that, and I listen for it. The only authority that I could use, that I am commanded to use, is if anybody speaks aloud in this meeting that would harm somebody else's travel on their way to being a perfect Jesus Christ. If somebody says something that will hurt you, then I've got to rebuke them and call them down and say, whoa, wait a minute. We can't talk that in here. I don't want them hearing what you're saying because that's not the way it's supposed to be. Very seldom I've ever had to do that. God has called me down a dozen times. But I've never had to call anybody down but just once or twice. Now, the way we do things around here that you find different is not my style. I've been accused of that. The way we operate this church is because a group of leaders got together, saw we were fixing to form a new worship body, and got to thinking about all the things that had messed up the churches they had been in, and we voted not amongst ourselves. We decided, we didn't vote, we didn't hold our hands up and count 3-1 or whatever, but we decided as a group, those things we wouldn't do in our church. And that's the reason that we do things like we do. It's not my style, it's Jesus' style. He told us to do that through the Holy Spirit that was in us. And you don't see much trouble around here. But we respected the Holy Spirit so much that we felt like we could depend on Him to tell us how to act. And that's what we did. Last week, Ron spoke up after service. And I believe he was speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. I heard most of what he said. His voice kind of goes up and comes down sometimes. And so sometimes I miss the quiet verse, the voices. But like this morning, my left hearing aid went bad, so it's not even working. So I can't hear what I could hear last week. And that's just the way things are. I can't hear and I can't half see. But God tells me what to say, and I can say that. But he asked at the end of what he said, would you like for me to pray? And I didn't hear him. And when I get away from here, I asked Judy on the way home, what did this one say? What did that one say? I want to make sure that I heard every single word they said. And she said, Ron asked you if he could pray after he said what he did, but I knew you didn't hear him. And I didn't hear him. That's when I spoke about the 4th of July and whatever. And when I finished, I prayed myself. What you need to understand about what I believe, when you have received the floor in this meeting, you have done that, I think, because the Holy Spirit moved you to take the floor and be in charge of what is fixing to be said. The only way you'll have any interference from me is if you're saying something that's going to hurt the whole congregation. And when you have the floor, you don't have to ask if I'd like for you to pray. You already got it, so just start praying. I'm not going to argue with the work of the Holy Spirit, folks. I'm not. And I have a fear that I might get in His way. The Bible talks about quenching the Holy Spirit and embarrassing the Holy Spirit and hurting the Holy Spirit's feelings and sinning against the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do any of that. I respect the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus in the Holy Spirit's work. Wherever I am learning to look for the authority of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. That's my job today. I would recommend it to you. Well, I can't believe what so-and-so said or whatever. Well, see, I'm scared to say that. Unless somebody is obviously wrong and I know what the Bible says and they're saying something else, my opinion is not worth very much. Because I got an opinion just like everybody else. But it's not for everybody else to have to listen to me about anything other than what God tells me to say. So please understand, if you're sitting in the back, be like those little girls. If Jesus moves them through the Holy Spirit to say something, they just say it. Praise God for that. I like a church like that. That makes me believe that Jesus is still in control of this place. Because little kids aren't scared to say something to the preacher in front of everybody. We shouldn't be either. If you know the Holy Spirit wants you to say something, you need to say it. If the Holy Spirit hadn't told you to say something, maybe you ought to question whether or not you need to say it. Now that's what I'm saying. I don't want you to have to listen to anything out of this place up here that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. But here is the bottom line. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're to be singing to ourselves and have a happy heart. We're to thank God and praise Him for everything He had done in our life. And we're to love each other and submit to each other. Don't be rude, what I'm trying to say. Respect each other. Respect what the other person says. You never know when you're going to get something you can use. That is the basis for spiritual authority. Authority is around us all the time, and some people never realize it. There's a lot of times the Bible says we're supposed to keep our mouth shut, except the time that the Holy Spirit poked you and said, you better say this, and then we say it. You will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Every one of you sitting out there looking at me right now have that power. And I ask you to please be respectful of it and to use it whenever He tells you to. We'll all benefit from a lot of things that's been said after I get through preaching. Let's pray. Father, thank You for not only calling us to do different things, but giving us the authority to do those things, because without that, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of what You want us to do. Make us understand, Lord, that a lot of the ways that we're accepted by others and what we say is because You gave us authority to do that, and then You're working on them to believe what we say. I thank You that I realize that I can't teach anybody anything. All I can do is tell them, and the Holy Spirit is what says to them, hey, that's what you're supposed to believe. So, Lord, I understand that. So I pray, Lord, that You will take Your Holy Spirit and make us all like Jesus and do whatever it takes to do it, just like You did with Paul. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.